Morning, everybody. Dangerous topic, the tongue, because there's conviction for everybody, including the one that's standing up here. I wasn't sure I'd even be able to preach this because I was feeling under pretty heavy conviction as I was looking at it and doing my study, but decided that probably more than me, there's others that need the challenge as well. So we'll all be convicted and challenged together this morning. I want to give you three very short verses to start. We'll pray, and then we'll dig deeper into that. First, from Psalm 141, verse 3, very short verse. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Proverbs 13:3. He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. And last, Proverbs 21:23. He who guards his mouth and keeps his tongue keeps himself from calamity. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this time this morning in the Word. And Lord, as we look at those things that we say, this tongue that can be unruly but also can be a source of blessing, Father, would you bless now this tongue, that words would be spoken, that would be yours, and that would be penetrating and also helpful, and that our hearts would be open to what you want to say to us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First, I just want to make sure it's more than just me that has this problem. In your lifetime, would you raise your hand if you've ever said something you regret saying in your lifetime? Okay? A few people wincing as they raise their hand. In the last 10 years, have you said something that you regretted saying? It hurt somebody or you wish you could have pulled those words back. In the last year, have you said something that you wish you hadn't said? Okay, there are a few angels there that did not have to raise their hands. Congratulations. I should make you stand up and be applauded, but I won't. In the last month, have you said something that you wish you had not? Oh, we've got some people that have been very good. In the last 24 hours, have you? Okay. I'm just glad to know I'm not alone in this challenge of the tongue. We do have trouble with the words that we say sometimes, with those words that we wish we could grab out of the air and pull back in before they landed where they landed. And just to give you a visual, and my thanks to Toby Garvillis this morning for my visual aid, with Psalm 141:3, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. If you don't pick up anything else, I want you to get this word picture. Before a word comes out of your mouth, there's a guard over your mouth. The Lord God, the Holy Spirit. In this case, this guy from a SWAT team. But this is the picture that the psalmist is trying to give us, that there needs to be a guard set constantly over our mouth, so that we won't say those things that will be hurtful, painful, that we will regret later. That you have basically a 24/7 guard that is set over your mouth. And that's how God can help us. That's part of the Holy Spirit's job, is to do that. But I want you to think of this picture. When your mouth starts before you've engaged your brain, that happens sometimes, and that the guard. I want you to be thinking about this guy popping up to guard your mouth and set a watch over the door of your lips at ease. So that's Psalm 141:3, but most of the time I'm going to be in Proverbs. And there's an insert in your bulletin that has a long list of references to the tongue. It's not every reference to the tongue in Proverbs, and I'm not going to go in order on the sheet that you have. That's just for you to take home, for you to do your own personal conviction time. This is what happened to me because about 2 or 3 months ago, I had a period within 10 days. I had three instances where I said something really inappropriate and had to go back and apologize in each case And it was just in a very short span of time. And I thought, what is going on with me, Lord? And so I went through Proverbs and I just read and I picked out everything where the tongue was referred to and started to write it down. And I was under pretty heavy conviction from the Lord. And also how important God sees this topic of the tongue and what we say and the words that we share. So those are for you to take home and do your own little personal time. There's both negative and positive, and as is the case with us human beings, the negative list is a little longer than the positive. But a lot of these proverbs do both. There's a negative and a positive both, which is typical of the proverbs. It hits both sides. So you'll see one under negative, but there'll also be a negative and a positive thing. So that's mostly for you as a little tool. I won't actually be going in the order that you see on your insert there. So what's the big deal, Brother Jeff, or maybe the better question, what's the big deal, God, about our tongue? Why is He so concerned about our tongue? Does it really need all these proverbs? Does it really need a sermon on this? Well, if you would turn, let's go to James. A lot of you are familiar with this passage. James chapter 3. James 3. And we're going to start with verse 3. James 3, verse 3, all the way through 12. Let's just see how serious God considers this topic. James 3, starting with verse 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be so. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So God does seem to consider this topic an important one. And my goodness, He really, really emphasizes just how dangerous this little tongue is. I mean, it's not very big, right? It's just this little thing. It doesn't weigh more than what? Probably less than an ounce. Very small. Easy to grab. It's very flexible. It's how we talk. You know, our tongue and our ability to speak separates us from the animal world. There's some communication that goes on among animals, but language and the language ability is one of those things that really separates us from the animal world. And this wonderful tongue can do wonderful things, amazing things, but it can also be extremely destructive. It makes great boasts. It sets up a great fire. It's a world of evil. It corrupts the whole person. Okay, the Lord, I kind of get the idea here that this is pretty important. The tongue can be pretty dangerous. So we need a guard. We need this guy. We need to put a guard over our mouth because the mouth can be a very dangerous thing. And I want to look first at the negative side of the tongue and of what we say, and then want to end with the positive side so that we know we're not completely in despair about this, although we've had more than our share of challenges with our own tongues, I'm sure. First, on the negative side, the tongue can be, let's start with the worst, it can be violent and it can be destructive. Keep the book of Proverbs at the ready because that's where we'll spend most of our time now. And if you want to turn to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11, the tongue can be both violent and it can be destructive. You know that little phrase, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Does anybody think that's true? Sticks and stones indeed can break your bones, but words hurt, and they hurt deeply. They cut deeply. They can anyway. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. Move ahead to chapter 11, verse 9. 11, verse 9. With his mouth, the godless destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, the righteous escape. And then one more, jump ahead to 12, chapter 12, verse 6. 12, verse 6. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them. That seems really, really harsh, doesn't it? We're just talking about words, right? We're just talking about something we've said. We'll try out a few of these words. You are stupid. You are worthless. You are never going to amount to anything. Those are violent, destructive words. Those of you that were raised in homes where that kind of phrase came up or was used, when I just repeated those, you probably felt some of that pain again. That's how deeply words can cut and cause pain and be violent in homes. If you, especially dads, this moms too, but especially dads, because our anger sometimes gets the better of us. If you have used those words, stop. S-T-O-P. Stop. Don't do that to your children. Don't do that to your spouse. Stop. It's violent. It's ugly. It hurts a lot. Isaiah 29:13, the Lord says, these people, speaking of Israel, but could be us, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Sometimes we have these pretty ugly conversations in the home, and then the next few hours we're in church, and we're praising God, and we're honoring Him, we're singing praises to Him. But earlier, our tongue had been in a far different place. And when I am speaking of this, understand that there's a lot of conviction for me too. This isn't just me trying to hammer you guys, but I do want to drive home just how troublesome our tongue can be. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin, but anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Jesus takes words very seriously. That word Raca is Aramaic, and it's a very derogatory term. It would be similar to when we say, you fool, but a pretty harsh term in the Aramaic. But notice that Jesus says, if you say Raca, you're answerable to the Sanhedrin, but if you say, you fool, you're in danger of the fire of hell. So again, be very careful with using these really violent and destructive words that sometimes we use. So the tongue can be violent and destructive. The tongue can also be a liar. Proverbs 10, verse 18. He who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Move up to chapter 12, verse 19. 12:19. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. I think we saw a little bit of that just a few months ago during our campaign with some folks. Move ahead to 17, verse 4. Chapter 17, verse 4. A wicked man listens to evil lips. A liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. I don't have to give too much description of lying. We all pretty much know, and we get it early with our children. We seem to learn early, early on how to lie, how to manipulate our tongues and say one thing and do another. And there's a lot of things tied to lying, like deceit, just trying to deceive someone. Saying something that's not true or maybe like half true and you're saying it to really deceive them. There's libel. Libel is usually more written down, but you can also be libelous if it's spoken and then broadcast. That's sort of the technical thing. Slander is more with the mouth and things we say about people that are not true, or we think they might be a little bit true, but then we really go off and we try to nail somebody. The term white lie, we tend to use that when we don't think it's such a big deal. It was only a white lie. And I looked back a little bit on that, and nobody was like super sure how that first came about, but basically the white being of purity and that there's a little white on top of that lie. You know, there's a little white mixed in with that lie. It's not so bad. And we do tend to think it's maybe not such a big deal. But again, what's your purpose behind that white lie? Or that's maybe what you're calling a white lie. Hypocrisy is also in this same ballpark where you say one thing, you do another. Jesus was very hard on the Pharisees and the Sadducees because this is one of the things that came up again and again was their hypocrisy. The way that their lives spoke one thing on the outside and it spoke something very different on the inside. So the tongue can be a liar. It can really be a liar. Another area kind of connected to lying is gossip. And my goodness, gossip. How much trouble has been caused by gossiping tongues. Chapter 11, verse 13. Whew, anybody else feeling a heavy weight so far? Or is it just me? Chapter 11, verse 13. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Move ahead to chapter 18, verse 8. 18, verse 8. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Who doesn't like a little bit of juicy gossip? As long as it's about somebody else. Chapter 20, verse 19. Chapter 20, verse 19. A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. Present company hopefully excluded because I'm supposed to talk at least somewhat, right? A gossip does betray a confidence. Gossip grows out of just saying too much. Just saying more words than you need to sometimes about someone or about a situation that you don't really know about, but you want to pretend that you know about. You want to pretend that you're sort of in the know about someone or something, so you say a whole lot more than you really know about. And somebody else picks up on it, and they hand that off to somebody else. I still remember, this is years ago, and I still remember it very clearly. I was working at a radio station, and we had sort of dual secretaries, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. And the one in the afternoon had been a little sick and had come back and seemed to be okay, but I noticed she had gained some weight, which was very odd for her, that she had picked up some weight. And I mentioned to the other secretary, does it look like so-and-so gained a little weight, do you think? And she said, yeah, something's going on there. And I thought that was the end of it. But the next day, the afternoon secretary walked right up to me and said, so, I hear you think I'm fat. Woo, busted. Quick backpedaling, and it was eventually dealt with. It was eventually forgiven. But, oh my, the things we say that we let out of our mouth. And, of course, I was angry at the other secretary. That was just between you and me. You know, how many times have you said that? That was just between you and me. You got to keep that quiet. Ephesians 4:29 talks about unwholesome talk. That's certainly in this category. 2 Timothy 2:16 talks about godless chatter, that godless chatter leads to an ungodly life. That's pretty easy math, right? Ungodless chatter, ungodly life. So again, God takes this topic very seriously. I had a very, still, he's still a good friend. He is a pastor of a church, Hispanic pastor in Albuquerque, and he started in a sort of slum area, and the church started to grow like wildfire. He's a really good preacher and a good guy. And so the church was growing, and two American gals who were actually working at a radio station I was at the time, or one was working there, one the other was her close friend, two American gals, and there weren't hardly any Americans in that congregation. I'm not sure why they started going there. But for some reason, they started rumors about him and especially his wife. Just stuff, just ugly stuff that didn't need to be said or shared, was untrue. But they started doing this campaign. You know how that goes, right? You know. And why are the women laughing more than the men? You can, yeah, you know. And so it started to spread through the whole church. And it got nasty. None of it was even remotely true. But the husband and wife, the pastor and his wife, felt like they had to be fighting this stuff off all the time. And it turned out they finally, the two that were spreading the gossip, they were rooted out of the church and eventually out of the whole state of New Mexico. They had serious emotional problems, it turned out. And they just decided to turn on the pastor and his wife. But there were people in the church that believed, at least in part, some of the stuff they were saying. And it took months and months and months for that church to recover just from two young ladies, you know, doing that stuff. So it's wicked bad, gossip is. The tongue can also be proud. Not the little muscle, but you know what I mean when we're talking about the tongue. Chapter 18, verse 2. Chapter 18, verse 2. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. Now, you probably don't know anybody like that and have never known anybody like that, right? Someone that delights in airing their own opinion. I've been there. Whew. That's why I say I may have to sit down. I'm feeling the heavy weight of some of these verses. And here's the one that I won't spend too much time on the pride thing because we understand that. Here's the one that developed in me almost a doubling over, a blow to the solar plexus. Chapter 26, verse 18 and 19. Chapter 26, 18 and 19. Like a madman shooting firebrands or deadly arrows is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. I don't know how many times I've had to go back to somebody and apologize because I over-teased, I over-joked. The Lord's given me a pretty good sense of humor, but I overdo it. Some of you have been, unfortunately, the object of that. Never meant in terms of trying to be mean, but again, too many words, too often, inappropriate, and it goes beyond teasing to you really kind of hurt somebody. At least a little bit. And so that was the one that I just, you know, right in the gut. Sometimes Scripture will do that to you. So be careful about the teasing thing. And I know especially we have a lot of islanders. Teasing is part of the culture even. And it can be fun. It can be funny. But just be careful. Be wise in how you do it. And just don't overdo it. The tongue can also flatter. This is connected to other things, and it's sort of on the opposite end of gossip. And this is not praising. This is flattery. Proverbs 26, 28. Chapter 26, verse 28. A lying tongue hurts those, hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. And then move ahead to 29, chapter 29, verse 5. 29 verse 5, whoever flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his feet. You know, praise is one thing. It's encouragement. It's lifting somebody up. Flattery is that sugary, overly doing it. Oh, you're just the best person I've ever met in my entire life. And sometimes that can lift somebody up. But if it's not really true, you're just trying to get on that person's good side, or you're trying to, as we say, butter them up.
or get on their side of that's somebody they don't mind giving money to. Whatever your motive is, that's the flattery is just trying to puff them up, but it's all air. There's no real substance. It's all just air, and you're just kind of inflatable with puffing people up when you don't really mean it. Okay, that's enough of the negative. That's about all I can take. I don't know about the rest of you, but let's go on to the positive, because the tongue can be a wonderful thing. It can be. First, it reveals who we are, and this is when it's done in a good way. Proverbs 12, verse 14. Proverbs 12, verse 14. The wicked desire... Whoops, I'm in the wrong one myself. Verse 14. From the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things, as surely as the work of his hands reward him. And, of course, the fruit of the lips are those words that we speak, and they can be filled with good things. On that same topic, if you want to turn to it, Matthew 12, I'm going to read this. Matthew chapter 12, 33 to 37. Matthew 12, 33 to 37. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they've spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned. So the tongue reveals who we are, and it can do that in a good way if the fruit of our lips are filled with good things. The tongue also can speak truth. Same chapter, chapter 12, verse 7, or 17 rather, not 7, 17, 12, 17. A truthful witness gives honest testimony, but a false witness tells lies. So the tongue can speak truth. If somebody needs to know, okay, what happened in this particular situation, obviously it happens a lot in the legal situation in courts, that the tongue can speak or reveal truth. 1 Peter 3:15, the challenge to speak truthfully about what's in your heart as a believer. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. So the tongue can speak truth. In the day-to-day, it can speak truth about who you are as a believer. So that's definitely a positive. The tongue can reveal and share wisdom and knowledge. Chapter 10, verse 13. 10, 13. Wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks judgment. But wisdom can be found on the lips of the discerning. And then verse 31, same chapter, chapter 10, verse 31. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be cut out. That's pretty severe. But the mouth of the righteous can indeed bring forth wisdom. Chapter 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. That's verse 2. And then verse 7, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. Spreading knowledge, spreading wisdom, and wisdom is really what Proverbs is about wise living, living with some horse sense, some of us call that, but living in a wise way. And we can help to share that with people if we have been down the road a little bit or we've learned some things through experience. Then we can share wisdom, we can share knowledge, and hopefully that will help somebody else. So the tongue can do that. It can share wisdom and knowledge. The tongue can instruct. Chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 21, and then 23. Verse 21, the wise in heart are called discerning, and pleasant words promote instruction. And verse 23, a wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. We have a lot of teachers here in our congregation. You're promoting instruction with the words that you say. Some teachers do it better than others. I think in this congregation we have a lot of the better teachers. But you're sharing with your tongue. You're sharing instruction. You're helping people to learn things they did not know. I think of golf. I used to golf a bit, and there's plenty of instruction in following the sport of golf, because there's a million things you can do wrong with your swing, and so you've got people always providing instruction, instruction. Get off of me. I'm all right. No, no, you need to, you know, get your feet a little more. You're going to do that backswing a little straight. But you can instruct with your words and provide good, solid direction in that instruction. The tongue can be discerning, and it needs to be discerning. Chapter 10, verse 19. 10:19. When words are many, sin is absent, and he who holds his tongue is wise. So remember this guy to keep a guard over your mouth, and remember this verse for holding the tongue. Sometimes it's helpful to hold the tongue, because if you don't hold it, then it flaps out there and says things you really didn't want it to say. So sometimes it's good to hold the tongue, and that's part of discernment. Chapter 11, verse 12. A man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor, but again, a man of understanding holds his tongue. So there seems to be something there as the writer here repeats that for the discerning part. And then verses 27 and 28 in chapter 11, same chapter, 27 and 28. Oh, excuse me. Chapter 17, I'm getting my own numbers mixed up here. Chapter 17, 27 and 28. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even tempered. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. There seems to be a theme running through here about holding our tongue, right? That seems to be the better part of discernment oftentimes. You don't have to say everything you're thinking. You don't have to say everything you're thinking. The tongue can turn aside anger. This is a wonderful thing the tongue can do. Chapter 15, verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Have you ever experienced that? Either you shared it or somebody shared it with you. It's true. This is true. A gentle answer can turn away wrath. But what does a harsh word do? It stirs things up. A friend of mine once said, when there's an argument, what do you bring? Do you bring a bucket of water, or do you bring a bucket of fire to an argument? Are you there to douse it, or are you there to fire that argument up? And that struck a chord with me. When you're in the middle of something, or maybe it's even an argument you've started, do you keep pouring fire on that and a little oil to make it even hotter, or do you find the water and do you try to douse that? Sometimes with a gentle answer can do that. And verse 4, same chapter 15. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. So the tongue can bring real healing, and that gentle answer can turn away anger, turn away wrath. The tongue can be a source of kindness, another very good thing the tongue can do. Chapter 12, verse 25. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Anybody say amen to that? Been down? Kind word? Cheers you up. Stays with you pretty much the whole day, doesn't it? Chapter 16, verse 24. 16:24. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and healing to the bones. As we're talking about this, how many of you are thinking about a time when this happened? And you're remembering it very clearly. We're good at remembering those ugly times when people said harsh words and ugly words and painful things. But we're also pretty good about remembering when we were really down, really having a bad day, or something was going on, and somebody said, out of the blue, a kind word, an encouraging word, it really does exactly what the writer of Proverbs says. It's healing to the bones. It brings refreshment. So let's be that source of kindness rather than the source of lying, deceit, slander, gossip, flattery. Let's be a source of kindness. Let's share a kind word. Also a timely word. That's similar to a kind word, but sometimes just a word said just at the right time. The right thing said at the right time can be a wonderful thing. Chapter 15, verse 23. 15:23. A man finds joy in giving an apt reply. How good is a timely word? Amen and amen. An apt reply, a timely word. And chapter 25, just move ahead to 25, verse 11. 25:11. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. It's a wonderful word picture. I like reading sometimes commentators who want to try to explain something they don't really understand. And this was one sort of funny verse to read that commentators went to great lengths to say they weren't really sure what this was saying. And to me, that's digging a little too deep. I just love the picture. Apples of gold and settings of silver. Just saying it is a wonderful phrase, and it's a wonderful little apples of gold and a setting of silver. It's a wonderful, lovely picture. So, I mean, what's the problem, commentators? I mean, that's what a word aptly spoken is. It's a wonderful, lovely thing. Sometimes you dig a little too far for that meaning, but it's a wonderful thing. A word that is said at the right time, in the right way, it really, really helps. Colossians 4:6, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I love that phrasing, seasoned with salt, full of grace. Can somebody say that about your tongue, about your words? Oh, my goodness, that Brother Jeff, he's just seasoned with salt and he's just full of grace. I think sometimes he's full of boonie peppers sometimes, that guy. It's a little too much. And the tongue can be humble. We read that it can be proud, but it can also be humble. I've always liked this verse, too. 27, verse 2, chapter 27, verse 2. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, someone else and not your own lips. That's a good word. That's a really good word. Don't be too concerned about puffing yourself up. We like for people to notice when we do good things, when we are sort of having a good day or we've made a real accomplishment, and we'd kind of like to say something about it ourselves. But hold back. Hold your tongue on that one. Let someone else praise you. Let another man's lips praise you. So that's sort of the good, the bad, the ugly, with an emphasis hopefully on the end here of the good of the tongue. And can I just reread our responsive reading from Matthew 15? Just some closing verses from outside of the book of Proverbs, and we'll be done. And again, this was our responsive reading, chapter 15, starting with verse 10. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean. What comes out of his mouth, that's what makes him unclean." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean, but eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." So how do we use our tongue? Just a few practical things to close. First and foremost, those of you that haven't done this, confess with your mouth, "Jesus is Lord," from Romans chapter 10. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. As God provides that conviction on your heart, that's the best thing you can do with your tongue, is to confess with your mouth, "Jesus is Lord." And if you've done that, if you have him in your heart, another thing you can do with your tongue is let people know about it. Share the gospel. Share your testimony. Further down in Romans 10, Paul talks about how can people call on the one that they haven't believed in? How can they believe unless they've heard? How can they hear unless someone has preached? And so there is that use of the tongue, preaching, sharing the gospel, sharing your testimony. Sing. Obviously, we do that on Sundays, but it's good to do it other places. Paul says in Ephesians 5 to talk to each other in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Let your life become a Christian musical. Wouldn't that freak people out? Start talking to them in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But sing. It's a good thing to do with the tongue. Pray. It's another obvious one, but Colossians 4:2 says, be devoted to prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, you know, pray continually. Keep that on your heart all the time. Sometimes we do it silently, but sometimes, like we do here at church, pray out loud. Pray in small groups and pray. Speak the words to God and to one another. Encourage one another. That's that timely word, that apt word, that apples of gold and settings of silver. Encourage people. Don't just do the flattery thing. Oh, you're just so wonderful and so great and so blah, blah, blah. Be specific. If it's something about that person you really like, you appreciate a characteristic in them, hone in on that characteristic and share something specific to encourage them. If you see they're down, pull them aside and say, you know, I see, is there anything going on there? I just want to be a friend and encourage you. Hebrews 3:13 puts it very simply, encourage one another daily. Encourage one another daily. So use your tongue to encourage, not discourage. And those of you who are parents, speak blessing to your kids. Lots of different ways you can do that. Deuteronomy 6, the Shema, the prayer of Israel, talks about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. Follow these commands I give to you, and then impress them on your children. Impress them on your children. Speak blessing to your kids. Speak scripture to them. Speak loving words to them. Speak blessing to your children. Yes, you need to instruct. Yes, you need to discipline, but speak blessing to your children. Use your tongue in that way. Let's speak truth to one another here in this assembly. Let's speak the truth in love, as Paul says in Ephesians 4:15. But especially during this transition period, let's speak the truth to one another. If something happens that you're not happy with or there's something going on, please come to your elders, your deacons, or the person that perhaps has wronged you or something you need to kind of get off your chest, but do it in an appropriate way. But especially vital in this transition period, as Dr. Sorensen comes in the next couple of weeks to begin sharing with us on Sundays. Let's speak the truth to one another. Don't talk about your elders, talk to your elders. I can't emphasize that strongly enough. Regardless of how hard a word it is, I'd much rather you talk to us as elders than talk about us as elders. It's going to help us get through the transition time a lot better. Make a phone call. This gets back to some of the encouragement. Maybe somebody you haven't talked to in a long time, or somebody that there's a little trouble there, and you're thinking, oh, that person needs to call me. They need to initiate. Well, maybe you need to step out. Maybe you need to use your tongue on that phone and say an encouraging word or a reconciling word with somebody. James 1:19, let's be quick to hear. Let's be slow to speak. Let's be slow to get angry, right? Let's be quick to hear. Let's be slow to speak. If we took those two admonitions, not even the third one, but at least those two, a lot of our problems would be corralled if we were quick to hear and a little slower to speak. And three-word phrases that we can all memorize. This is especially hard for us men, but I think we can do it. Three-word phrases that the tongue can say that can be extremely healing. I was wrong. Say it with me. I was wrong. Ooh, there was a couple of from a couple of guys there. Some spouses, this might be the first time you've heard him say it in a long time. One more time. I was wrong. I am sorry. That's hard, isn't it? Please forgive me. Now, I'm not the first one to do that. We've heard a lot of people say that. I was wrong. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Those are healing, wonderful, apt apples of gold and settings of silver. Lord, set a guard over my mouth. Keep a watch over the door of my lips. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this instruction. Plenty of conviction for all of us, Lord. And I just pray that we will hold fast to the truths of Proverbs. Lord, would you sink it deep into our hearts just how awful this tongue can be when it's used improperly, when it's used in an ungodly way, in ways that you did not create it to be used for. Father, help us to root out the hatred, the lying, the gossip, the slander, those things that we sometimes say that we wish we could take back, but it's once they're out, they're out. Father, help to give us a kind heart so that there'll be good fruit that comes out of a good heart. And Lord, we know we can't do it without you. We can't do it without the counselor, without the one who helps to tell us what to say and when, the Holy Spirit. Father, for some, they may not be able to do that because they don't know you. They haven't confessed with their mouth that you are Lord. For those that are here sitting this morning, they may be in that situation. Father, would you open their hearts? You're the only one that can do it. Open their heart wide to be able to confess you as Lord, for you to take over their heart and life. And Lord, for those of us who sit here as believers, some of us for many years, Lord, we just let our tongue get away from us. We don't hold our tongue when we should. So help us to be discerning. Help us to remember this guard that needs to go over our mouth when it's something that is bubbling up that we know maybe not be appropriate, that will take a moment. Remember your words of challenge. And Lord, that we would speak the kind of words that lift up and encourage and that bless. And help our church to be one that does that, Father. A place that is safe for people to come and they know they won't be beat on by violent and wicked tongues, but they'll be lifted up. They'll be healed. They'll be touched in a way that perhaps they haven't been touched before because you are present here. You're present in our hearts, and we want you to be present in our tongue and in our lips. Father, help us to be strong in this. Help me to be strong in this. And we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be able to confess you as Lord, for you to take over their heart and life. And Lord, for those of us who sit here as believers, some of us for many years, Lord, we just let our tongue get away from us. We don't hold our tongue when we should. So help us to be discerning. Help us to remember this guard that needs to go over our mouth when it's something that is bubbling up that we know maybe not be appropriate, that will take a moment. Remember your words of challenge. And Lord, that we would speak the kind of words that lift up and encourage and that bless. And help our church to be one that does that, Father. A place that is safe for people to come and they know they won't be beat on by violent and wicked tongues, but they'll be lifted up. They'll be healed. They'll be touched in a way that perhaps they haven't been touched before because you are present here. You're present in our hearts, and we want you to be present in our tongue and in our lips. Father, help us to be strong in this. Help me to be strong in this. And we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.